Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day, and we're glad you joined us here for the conversation. We're exploring the book of Zechariah and discovering the message that the King is coming. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. The King is coming. What a book, the book of Zechariah. We're going to learn a lot about the Lord. We're going to learn a lot about our future as believers. We're going to learn a lot of history. I think yesterday we kind of went on history overload, Caleb. Yeah.
It was good, though. It set the context for the whole passage, and hopefully after last podcast, you're able to zero in a little bit more, understand what is going on, and that's really going to be a foundation that we can catapult from to see what Zechariah is truly meaning in these following verses.
So just to give you a 60-second overview of the book, Zechariah, for the first 8 chapters, deals with what is. And what was for Zechariah at that moment was the people had stopped their rebuilding of the temple, and God raises up Zechariah to remind them. So you see the rebuke in the first part of chapter 1, and then Zechariah has 8 visions, all in one night. What a fitful night of sleep that must have been. But 8 visions, we'll talk about those 8 visions. And then he preaches 4 clarifying messages. And all of that is within just the days of the rebuilding of the temple. So that's all happens very quickly. And then in chapters 9 through 14, we'll talk about the King. We'll talk about the coming Messiah, the plan that God has for the future, how Messiah will be initially rejected, but how ultimately he will reign. Just a great book of prophecy. So we'll talk about that toward the end of our series here. I do want to say that Zechariah was a younger man. He had been born in captivity, but had come along with the exiles. And so he was a younger man. The prophet that prophesied alongside of him was an older man whose name was Haggai. Haggai is a shorter book in the Bible. It comprises 4 messages that Haggai preached. All 4 of the messages have a date to them. So Haggai preached the first 2 messages to the people that were being lazy. Remember, consider your ways. That's a famous message. That's what Haggai preached. So after he preached the first 2 messages, a couple months later, then Zechariah joins in. So you have Haggai, the old man, Zechariah, the young man, and they're preaching. And they're saying to God's people, get back to work. Honor God. Make the temple a priority. Really, make God a priority. So that's our background. Okay, I said to Caleb before the podcast, I have so much more to say, but the purpose of this podcast is not to say everything we could say about a passage. It's to keep things moving so that we see the relevance of that passage to our lives.
Yeah, exactly. And there's an amazing truth that God's word is still relevant to us today, even though this was thousands of years ago. It is something that still can speak to us today and something that we can take with us. And that's just the power of God's word. We saw that in the last book we studied, and just excited to see the truths that apply to us today.
So let's dive in. Zechariah chapter 1 and verse 1. In the 8th month, in the 2nd year of Darius. Some people pronounce that Darius. So this is 520 BC. And back then, dates would be given in different ways. It's interesting that Zechariah and Haggai both date their messages according to the Gentile calendar, because this is a season of time that Jesus referred to in Luke chapter 21 as the times of the Gentiles. What does that mean? The times of the Gentiles. What that means, and we see this in Daniel's visions and prophecies and the dreams that he interpreted, is that God made it clear that from now on until Messiah comes to rule and reign, this would be a time where the nation, God's people, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, would be dominated by the Gentiles. So we call that the time of the Gentiles. So when we talk about the time of the Gentiles, that's from this time, after the exile, all the way until the time when Jesus sets up rule and reign as the king of Israel and king of the world, really. So we find the Gentile calendar being used here. And the Bible says, in the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet. So Zechariah is the son of a prophet. He himself is a prophet. But the Bible also teaches in Ezra and in Nehemiah that Iddo was a priest. So what's the difference between a priest and a prophet? What would be your answer to that, Caleb?
Yeah, so a priest would go to God for the people and tell God what the people are saying. And a prophet would receive the word from God and tell the people what God is telling them.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's probably the easiest way to understand that a priest represents people to God in the sacrificial system and mediating because people cannot go directly to God. They need a mediator. That's why Jesus is our high priest. We don't need a priest anymore. Yeah, we go through Jesus. But Jesus is also the prophet because the prophet was the one through whom God communicated to man. So in that sense, Jesus is the word, the communication of God to man. And then, of course, Jesus is the king. Yeah. That's the whole point of the book, prophet, priest, and king. What's interesting is Zechariah is a prophet. So he's speaking for God to man, but he's also a priest. So he's representing sinful man to God. So he's in that mediator role. God's using him. Mm-hmm. In that sense, Caleb, I don't want to be too overly practical here, but there is a sense in which as believers, we're supposed to be that we're a kingdom of priests unto our God. And there's a sense in which as believers, we represent God to man. And there's a sense in which we introduce man to God. It's not that we are a mediator in that sense, yeah, but we ought to see our position as representing our God to a world that desperately needs to see him.
Yeah, absolutely. God has, in his sovereignty, chosen to use us as vessels for him. And the great commission is for us to share the gospel, is for us to propagate the gospel. And so just as there was a priest and prophet, so we are to share God's word with a lost and dying world. And so we are to pray for those as well. And so you see that role fulfilled in the believer as well.
So it's really a matter of, it's God's word. Because the Bible says, came the word of the Lord. So the message to the people was God's message. But God simply chose to use somebody to communicate that message. And that would be the same thing for believers today. The message that we communicate, the gospel, it's God's message, but God uses people to communicate that message. That's what Paul's point was in Romans 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, quoting Isaiah. So here's Zechariah, verse 2. The Lord, here's the message. Here's the word of the Lord, verse 2. The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. So the message doesn't start on a happy note, does it?
No, it's a very grim message that the Lord was very angry with your forefathers, with previous generations and the choices they made to reject God. And that's where it starts.
Yeah, the original language, this term sore displeased means, you know, angry on top of angry. So it's almost like angry squared. Yeah. God is angry squared for all of you math geeks. He's sore displeased. But look at the verb tense there. The Lord hath been sore displeased. Mm. So this is not a one-time punctiliar, like, God got, I got mad and got this off my chest. No, this is a settled anger that God has, because there's been a rampant and persistent disobedience among God's people.
Yeah, we see it time and time again throughout the Old Testament, and God has still been long-suffering the whole time, and God has sent prophet after prophet and chance after chance for the people of God to get it right, but they've continually rejected him. And so now Zechariah is coming to the people who are about to, or starting to make the same exact mistake. They've started the temple rework, and then they've got distracted by their own houses, and they've stopped making God a priority. And so now we'll see a plea for them to repent and not to be like their forefathers.
And it's interesting that Zechariah didn't go into examples of that sore displeasure. All he said was, guys, the Lord has been very angry with your fathers. Now, why would Zechariah not have said, and the way that he manifested his anger was captivity and destruction and death and famine? Because it was unnecessary. Mm. They were all poignantly aware.
They knew.
That they knew.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the part I think that angered God the most, was they knew the promises of God. They knew that God was going to bless them if they turned to him. And they knew the mistakes that their previous fathers had made and the results of that, but they continued to make the same exact mistakes time and time again.
Right. So the anger that God had for your fathers resulted in the destruction of the temple. Now Zechariah has been led to speak to people, remember, who have already heard two messages from Haggai. And he's saying to these people, listen, if the Lord was angry enough to destroy the temple, then why would you be so unwise as to delay its rebuilding?
Hmm.
So I think he's throwing this out to say, guys, remember what your dads did, because how quickly do we forget the lessons of even our own history?
Yeah, it's something that we look at the people here and we think, how can they continually make that same mistake? How can they keep looking at what God has done for the past decisions and keep doing those same things? But we fail to look at our own selves sometimes and understand, man, we have messed up time and time again. And how many days do I find myself struggling with that same thing over and over again? And God is displeased when we walk away from him. And it's something that we need to take a moment to stop and say, hey, have I stopped making God a priority? Have I turned to my own ways or what my own plans are, as these people have?
Yeah, that's a great intro into our next episode, because the question you just asked, have I stopped making God the priority? That's the issue. The issue is not putting more bricks up or building a bigger building or getting back to some manual labor. I think that's involved.
Yeah.
That's the apparatus. But the motivation, the issue really is a God issue, mm-hmm. as we shall see. So thanks for joining us today, my friends. I appreciate you hanging on for the ride. We are going to pick up speed. We're still kind of on the on-ramp here, but once we get on the highway, we're going to get all the way over in the left lane. We're going to put on our little HOV box, and we're going to move, okay? So stay with us. We're going to jump right into verse 3 next episode. Hope you have a great day, my friends. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.